John's up there or not, but if he is, four types of evangelism, John. By the way, evangelist Rod Black was preaching in church last week, and I think they had four or five people saved. Is that right, Brother Rod?
Yes.
And they'll be preaching for the next 2 weeks in churches, and pray for them. You know, Jimmy Furness is here. We don't very mention, but, you know, Jimmy's battling, trying to breathe, and you pray for Jimmy Furness. Try to keep him daily. Ask God to help Jimmy and Judy and Frank. Amen. But especially Jimmy, he's battling, just trying to breathe. And Franny Coonley, her eyes, pray for Franny's eyes. And we have a lot of prayer. I thank God that you got all that in that prayer card that he puts out every Wednesday. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 28. Look at the great commission that God gave the church. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them. Are you in Matthew 28, 18? Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He's all over everything. He's all powerful. Amen? Amen. Go ye. That's you. Ye's you. Me. Amen? Let's look at the charge to the church. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Man, remember that when you're on visitation, because when those dogs chase you, it's scary. But he's with us to the end. One more scripture. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1:8. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. By the way, if you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost, you might as well not go, because you ain't gonna do you any good anyways. It's not our power, it's his power that gets the job done. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that's why you have missionaries, because we can't be in all places, but we can send missionaries there, and then the places that we can go, we should go. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that I can be a blessing today. Pray that you'd help us to raise up like with wings as eagles, and Lord, do a great work reaching the masses of people. Lord, there's a lot of people live in Ravenna and Windham and Streetsboro and Garrettsville, Shalinsville and Rootstown. Lord, Akron, Brimfield, Talmadge. There's a lot of people around here that we can reach right in our backyard. So, Father, help us, Edinburgh, Lord, help us to reach all these little communities all around us. And, Father, help us not to let up till Jesus comes. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus said, until I come, get the word out. Go ye. We've got marching orders. We've got an army recruiting in here. We have an Air Force captain in here, and we got orders from headquarters. Go ye. That's a command, and you got to follow orders. And Jesus is the chief commander. Amen. And we need to follow. He's the captain of our souls. Amen. And come on. Amen. We are commanded by Jesus to evangelize the whole world. And to keep going. Do you still got Acts chapter 1 verse 8 open? Look at verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, when they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him up out of their sight. Can you imagine? After he said that, Brother Kenny, Jesus lifted right up. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood up by them in white apparel. Those are angels. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? Get to work! This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He said, listen, I know he's went up to heaven, but he's coming back. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what people tell you today. They can laugh at you and mock at you and say, I don't care about Armageddon. I don't care about tribulation. I don't care about this man called Jesus that's supposed to come in a rapture, a trumpet of God in the twinkling of an eye, and they can laugh and mock. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't change it. Jesus is coming. And nothing can stop it. He's coming. Paul thought he was going to come in his day. I really believe, because of what we're seeing, that it's going to definitely be in our day, especially the younger people. And maybe some of us silver hair might even see it. That's how close it is. But, you know, I noticed that there's four types of evangelism that people are doing today. And some are good, but nothing takes the place of door knocking.
Right.
Nothing takes the place of soul warning. Amen?
Right.
I'm going to share with you four types of evangelism. Number one, get your pens. You got an outline? I'll give you this. I'm going to share four evangelistic types of evangelism that people are doing today. How many believe that Jesus said we're to evangelize the world? That's a commandment. Do you see it in the scriptures? We are to evangelize the world, Jesus said. Yeah. Number one, the first style is lifestyle evangelism. Lifestyle, you see this on TV and all kinds of stuff. This is where they teach you, don't worry about preaching to the people on soul winning or soul warning. But just live a good and clean life. And you'll win them just by your lifestyle. It's called lifestyle. If they see your wonderful lifestyle, they'll just come. They don't need preaching. They just need to see you being happy. They just need to see you joyous. And I think a Christian ought to be happy. I think they ought to be joyous. But there's more than that to getting people saved. And they'll say, if they see you have a good enough life, they'll want to be saved too. That's not always true. Matter of fact, no good life gets you to heaven. Matter of fact, it could confuse people because there's none good, no, not one. Are you with me? But now they'll say, well, preacher, I want you to look at the scripture with me. What about 1 Peter? Look at 1 Peter, what God told the women. Look at 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. That's lifestyle. Yeah, but it's not lifestyle evangelism. They'll say, well, what about the wife trying to win her husband by a good, godly life? That's good, and it will. Hopefully it would reach some people. But that's not reaching the masses. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, in other words, if a saved lady's with a lost husband, if you saved ladies are with a lost husband, you don't want to come to church, you don't want to live for God, then what you need to do is walk godly in front of him. To obey your husbands, by the way, to be in subjection to him. Lady came to me and said, my husband don't want me to put my tithe in. I said, do what your husband told you. Oh, preacher. Preacher, my husband don't want me to come back Sunday night. You stay home with him. Quiet in here, isn't it? Hello? See, I think the wife ought to, if we're going to tell people we love Christ and obey him, we got to, he says for our wives to honor our husbands. Hello? If you got a disobedient wife, you're never going to reach that lost husband. Hello? Personally, the tithe is the Lord's, but that man will have to give an account. You know, but lifestyle evangelism, and you get that. They got churches, laughing churches. All they do is laugh through the whole service. What a bunch of idiots! I think we have Lizzie. You'd have made it there. None of them compared to Lizzie, though. I still think you're number one, Liz. And I'm not against laughing, but in the midst of the laughing, there ought to be preaching. In the midst of laughing, there ought to be praying. In the midst of laughing, there ought to be praising.
Yes. Amen.
Amen? And so lifestyle evangelism, it's not effective not to reach the masses. You might win one or two people, like in your family, and say, boy, I saw a real changed life in them. Are you with me? But Jesus wants us to reach the masses. Are you with me? And by the way, we are told in Acts 20:31 by the Apostle Paul that for the space of 3 years, he ceased not to warn people. Let me read it to you. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Soul warning is what you need. Not not lifestyle evangelism. Amen? Number two, fellowship and evangelism. Fellowship, man. We're just going to church for fellowship, man. And usually fellowship means foodship. Got a fellowship. Did you ever go to a fellowship that didn't have food in it? It wasn't fellowship that didn't have food, was it? But fellowship evangelism, that's where the church drops all their standards. They use any Bible. God only wrote one Bible, and that's King James. And it is inspired. I don't care what people say. The King James Bible is inspired by God.
Yes, sir.
Every word of God's inspired.
Yes,
they don't have any doctrine that they, so they wouldn't offend anybody. Anything goes. Just make people feel good. A feel-good religion, and just have a fun, good service. That's your fellowship evangelism. You know, did you ever know if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything? Listen, you don't win a drunkard by becoming a drunkard. You don't win a dope addict by taking drugs. You take a stand for right. And see, what they do is they drop all this fellowshipping evangelists, just no standards. They don't show no standards, no teaching. Just come on, I want you to feel good. It's what you call all the world churches come together. You know, people are still looking and searching for truth. You know the truth is? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Look at John 14:6. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. But if you don't have preaching about Jesus being the only way, I don't care what kind of, you got the wrong evangelism. Amen? And look at John 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Listen, it's not by being a good person. It's not by fellowshipping and having lots and laughing. It's all through Christ. Christ has to be the center of the church. If Christ is in the center and the founder of the church, then you've got nothing. I don't care what you call your church, even if it's a Baptist church. Amen? Look at John 8:32. People are seeking and looking for truth. I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Bill, in the day we're living, people realize this world's being shaken up. The world's having trouble. I heard on the radio today, someone offered LeBron James, at least that's was what they said. They said that some European basketball team was going to offer LeBron James $50 million to play basketball in Europe. Well, if you were Brother Harold Pierce, you would know that $50 million in Europe is only around $20 million. So, and he'll command more than $20 million from America. So if he goes over there, he'll actually be losing money. Are you with me? Because $50 million, the euro, you don't, on every dollar we send to Brother Harold, he gets about 40 cents. When we send Brother Ball his money, he gets around 40 cents, 35 cents over in England to the pound. Hello? How many are still with me? But the world, this country, I heard they're laying off a bunch of people in Lorain or somewhere. They're shutting down all kinds of factories. And of course, let me say this to you. Usually the liberal news only tell you what's bad that's going on. They don't want you to know what's good's going on. Yeah. I remember when George Bush ran for president against Bill Clinton. 2 days after George Bush, the senior, lost to Bill Clinton, they said, wow, the economy, we were wrong. We measured everything wrong. It's booming. Don't believe all the liberal news. And but I really do. I believe America is having some real troubles financially. The dollars went to valued to nothing almost. And America's left God. And America needs to get back to God. And if America will get back to God, God will start blessing America again. We just got to bring America back. We need a revival to get people back to God so God will come back and bless our country. By the way, America never was great. God made America great. America's greatness doesn't come from America. America's greatness comes from God Almighty. And the sooner people find that out, the better America's going to be. Well, I said, number one, lifestyle evangelism is not the way to reach people, the masses. Number two, did I read John 8:32 to you? John 8:32? I'm going to read it anyways again if I did. And you shall know truth. And you shall know the truth. By the way, that's why people try to take the King James Bible out of your hand. Watch the churches that want to take the King James Bible out of your hand. Because, see, the Bible, God's got a Bible. He preserves it through all eternity. They can take the Bible from you. They'll take the truth from you. Just remember, I told you that. And I don't care if it's me. If I ever tell you this Bible's not true, you rail me out on real. You take me out of here. This Bible's true. And it doesn't matter if I believe it or not. It's true no matter what. But the false churches, and even Baptist churches, they're leaning that way. A lot of them, even some of the big ones, they're starting to say, "Well, I don't think this is inspired anymore," or "I'm not too sure about the inspiration." By the way, listen. If you don't have an inspired Bible, you don't have a Bible. And Jimmy, if this isn't truth, then where is it? This is truth. Look at John 8:32. And that you shall know the truth, and the truth, what, shall make you free. Thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by marvelous grace. I'm so glad I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. Amen? Don't let loose of your King James Bible. There's a coming battle. And by the way, I'll be preaching on this King James Bible a lot in the future. There was a major fight in the 80s in the fundamental church about the inspiration of God's word. It's coming up again. And the fundamental Baptists are getting ready for another major war within the Baptist churches over this King James Bible. Can I tell you something? I'm not leaving the King James Bible. So I'm going to tell you right now, you've got a preacher that's, I'm going to die with my King James Bible in my hand. I'm never going to leave this Bible. Amen. And just because some well-known preacher says it's not inspired, don't you believe that. You just believe God. Amen. By the way, if I say it, don't you believe it. You believe God. Amen. So number two, fellowship evangelism, it's not going to make it. You've got to have truth. Just come as you are and do what you want and everything's all right. That's not going to set people free. And then number three, pulpit evangelism, which is fun. Look at Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Yeah, eventually in the near future, the Baptist church will be drawing a line. I remember in the 1980s, there was a huge battle over the King James Bible. What happened, the Baptist Bible Fellowship, the Springfield boys, we were always with all of them. They helped me start the Lighthouse down in Toledo. Supported me for a year. Helped us, you know, gave me insurance and stuff. But those boys started going off the NIV and the ABC and the MOUSC and all the rest of them. And the fundamental guy said, "No, we're not leaving." Well, let me tell you, and Sean, for about 20 years now or more, it's been kind of cooled down, but it's starting to raise up again. And I'm just going to tell you right now, see those stars and stripes? We don't fade. And we don't fade with this scripture. And so, amen. You're right, bud. As long as I'm the pastor of this church, this will always be a King James 11 church. Amen. And there will be no doubt that it's a pure word of God. Amen?
Amen?
Notice number three, pulpit evangelism. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. I charge thee therefore before God. Are you in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1? I charge thee. That's pretty good strong words, isn't it? Before God, that's if we're before God, that's the Almighty. It's a pretty place, it's a scary place to be, isn't it? Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, is appearing and his kingdom. Brother Dave, I'll never have to stand before God and say, why did you back down on my Bible?
Amen.
Preach the word.
Amen.
Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Man, he says, just keep checking it. Keep preaching it. Don't back up. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Right's right, wrong's wrong. Stay with the word. No matter if people leave your church, keep preaching it.
Amen.
Today, we're ordered by God to keep preaching. That's good.
Amen.
Sorry to say, there's a whole lot of churches not doing it anymore.
Right.
I pray that we always will be.
Amen.
And that's great. And, you know, that's good. Pulpit evangelism is good. But now look at me. Are you still with me? Think with me. Number one, lifestyle evangelism. Could we win a lot of people that way? No. You can't win no people, the masses, with lifestyle evangelism. Could you win people with
fellowship?
Thank you. Fellowship. Evangelism. No, God wants us to reach the masses. Pulpit evangelism, where you have real strong preaching, but you'd reach them in your church, but is that reaching the masses? Because the masses don't come to church. How many are with me? They don't come to church. So pulpit mass evangelism, even though you'd be preaching the truth and preaching hard and not compromising, you'd be reaching the group that come to your church, but you wouldn't be reaching the masses. How many are getting what I'm trying to tell you? Because these are all kinds of different ways people are trying to reach the masses. I noted here, this is great, but if all you are going to evangelize is those who come into your church, reaching them, just those people, is not enough people. Jesus said, go to the world. Amen? Only a small percentage of people ever come to our churches. Say like there's 14,000 people in Ravenna. Even if we would run 300, that's not even 10%. Are you with me? So pulpit evangelism would fall very, very short of reaching people for Christ, although it's good to preach. Churches are for, you know what churches are for? We're to go out and win people out there in the world and bring them to church to train them, to baptize them. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Ephesians 4:11. God gave some apostles, some prophets. By the way, all the apostles are dead. If you don't believe me, read the book. They all died. They're all in heaven right now. And I don't think anyone's more than 2,000 years old. Amen? And none of you have apostolic powers. None of you are an apostle. I'm not an apostle. There was 12 of them, and they all died 2,000 years ago. Amen? But God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, Rod Black, and some pastors, preacher, and some teachers. Why? Why did God give the church these offices? For the perfecting of the what? Saints. When you get saved, you become a saint. You don't have to be canonized or homogenized or pasteurized to become a saint. You become a saint the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. What? For the edifying, the teaching, the education, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind and doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's what the church is for. That's why we have Sunday school, by the way, too. See, preaching's not teaching. Usually preaching, especially, I try to be an exhorter. I try to be like a man that motivates you to do stuff. Okay? Sunday school is where you get your teaching. I was talking to somebody today about Sunday school. That was Brother Phil Howard. And it's so important that people come to Sunday school, because that's where your foundation of your church is built. Because when people are grounded in the Word of God, now this church is blessed. For 6 years, we had the Bible Institute. About 50 people from this church went to the Bible Institute. I think around 35 of you got diplomas. This church is above average as far as our church this size, to have this many. See, God wants his people to know the Bible. He wants all of us to know the scriptures. I just don't want you to hear me preach and say, amen, amen. I want you to know why. When I talk about eternal security, amen, I do believe in eternal. But not just because the preacher said it, because you know what the Bible says. It says we're sealed until the day of redemption. I want you to know something about justification, how God sees us just as though we've never sinned. God sees us just as though we've never been the lost, fallen race of Adam when we get saved. And sanctification, Kenny, how we're set apart. And we're put in Christ. Amen? And the three aspects, initial, progressive, and ultimate. Yeah, that'll blow your mind, McKinney. Yeah, I know. I have no idea, preacher. And glorification, how one day we're going to get a glorified body. These are great. And I can just keep right on going. It's great to have those truths. And every member should have those truths in their heart. And that's what Sunday school and Bible teaching does. It edifies the saint. That's where we're supposed to train, disciple people. The church is for discipleship. This church is for fellowship and edification and to be together as a group for Christ to reach out to the world. Amen. That's what the church is for. Amen?
Amen?
To raise up the banner of Christ and magnify Christ. And so, we see that's, God doesn't want people tossed to and fro. Phil, I was with Phil this morning. I think I can share this with you. Phil Howard's come a long ways. Phil Howard and his wife in Christianity has come major steps. Phil told me today, he said, preacher, we went to church for years. He said, I wish all those lost years I was in those other false churches, I wish I'd have been at Bethel. Because you got to go where you can get truth. By the way, we're not the only one that has truth. But there is truth here. Amen? And so that's, the church is supposed to strengthen your faith and encourage you. We are to win people to Christ and to bring them to church so they can grow in grace. Brother Mike, that couple that came last week, we're going to go out and get them this week. We're going to baptize them. We're going to try to train them and help them grow in grace.
Amen.
I sat down with Kenny during the week. He came by early this week, and I showed him some more scriptures. We sat in my kitchen, and we spent about a half an hour. And I was just showing him scriptures in the Bible. He was writing them down.
Amen.
He's a young Christian. He's growing in grace. One thing about young Christians, they hunger for God's word. I love young Christians, man. Yeah, preacher, I've got plenty of time. Tell me more, preacher. The old Christian said, oh, man, it's all that. I don't want to tell you. Let me get out of here. I can't wait to watch what's on TV when I get home. By the way, let me give this last thought. I'm going to give you the last point. Did you ever see when they bring a new baby in? Isn't it exciting when people bring their new babies in? Mrs. Fowler back there. When she brought Maria, boy, everybody flocked her. Woo, man, look at that new baby. Woo-hoo. You got your little baby. Man, that little baby, your little girl. Man, precious. And even daddy gets excited. And grandpa gets excited. And the preacher gets excited. All the nurses. Let me hold her. Let her. Mrs. Ann Davis, she had one of those babies. I can't remember one of the babies. She held on. That was a new baby. And she said, no, I'm holding it.
The whole service.
And she did. She did. They were smart enough
not to mess with Ann.
When you bring new, see, babies bring excitement to our home. Amen. New Christians are babies in Christ. They bring excitement to the church. Amen. If you don't get excited, people getting saved, you don't get excited, people getting baptized, you ought to check your salvation.
Amen.
I've been saved for over 30 years. I still get excited. Little Billy Turner was up here preaching a few weeks ago on a Sunday night. He was talking about how I baptized. I bawled half of the time he was preaching. When little Eddie gets up here and preaches and sings, man, those are our kids. I get excited over our kids.
Amen.
Don't you get excited about stuff like that? Our babies have grown up and serving God. If you can't get excited about the... There's a kid over in Germany right now. He came out of this church. He was a bus kid. He's in Germany right now serving God for the military.
Amen.
Harold Pierce. Man, I'm excited about that.
Amen.
Keep bringing those bus kids in.
Amen.
By the way, we're always going to keep running them buses.
Amen.
Care if it's $4 or $5 or $6 a gallon. God was in it when it was 35 cents a gallon. He's in it when it's $4 a gallon.
Right.
Okay, last point. Number four. Are you with me? It's 8:05. You don't have to strain your neck. I said number one, lifestyle evangelism is not the way. I said number two, fellowship evangelism is not the way. I said number three, although it's good to have hard preaching, good preaching, pulpit evangelism doesn't reach enough. Doesn't reach the masses. Number four, personal evangelism. Soul warning. I'll quote you that same scripture I quoted earlier. Acts chapter 20 ought to be one of our favorite verses. Acts 20:31, the Apostle Paul said, "For the space of 3 years, day and night, I cease not to warn people with tears, night and day." Soul warning. You're going out and warning people about hell. Got a couple of this coming this Sunday, Brother Mike. A couple weeks ago, he said, "I'm not going to hell. This is hell right here." I said, "It might be rough right now, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to hell without Christ, and you're going to burn forever."
Right.
Brother Bobby had witnessed to him several times before. He prepared his heart. I didn't know it. He just shared that with me today. He knew what I was talking about the day I told you about him. And all of a sudden, God pricked his heart. He said, "Mister, I don't want to go to hell." I said, "You don't have to go to hell."
That's right.
He took the warning.
Amen.
And I shared with him about Christ. And you know this, he asked Christ to come in his heart. He and his wife both asked the Lord to save him.
Amen.
That's soul warning.
Amen.
I told Rosie to start putting the bulletin. We're not going soul winning, we're going soul warning. We're going out warning people.
Yes,
amen?
Amen?
Soul warning. So go soul warning everywhere to everyone. Not just on Saturday, though. Everywhere you go. Keep some tracks with you. Always keep some tracks with you. Amen? Give it to your people. When your mailman comes tomorrow and you find your mailman, run him down, give him your tracks. Say, "Hey, I got a letter from heaven that God told me to give to you." Yeah. I mean, you could, the gas man... you can go out there and where you get your gas and say, "Hey, I got a personal invitation to heaven from God. Here's a message for you from Him." Amen? There's all kinds of things you can do, you know. And I preached a message ago. The dentist did a gap in my teeth and he made a bridge. So I preached a message, a bridge to heaven. I went back and gave him the tape and the track. Christ, He was the bridge for you to get to heaven, dentist. Hello? I'm telling you, you get on an elevator. You're going up or down. They tell me, "Are you going up or down?" I said, "I'm going up when Jesus comes." "Where are you going?" "Oh, I don't know." Read this track and you can know. We just need to, listen, there's a thought, we just don't tell people. No, it's nothing wrong. God will save people. We just won't put the warning out.
Right. Right.
Amen? So reach out in love and truth for Christ. Reach out with compassion. Soul warning with a compassionate heart makes a difference. I'm going to close with these two verses. That's already, it's 10 after 8. And look at Jude. Look at the little book. It's a little book right before Revelation. One chapter. Personal evangelism is what's going to make the difference. It's just not on Saturday at 2 o'clock, though. That's good, though. I'd like to have an army come out here Saturday at 2 o'clock with me. I want to go over those Advil, whatever they name those new homes over there off of Diamond Street, Amherst, whatever. I don't know the name of the place. What is it called?
Anabar.
Anabar, Clark, Hanabar, anywhere. I want to go over there. I know where it's at. Candy bar. Come out, I'll give you a candy bar. But it's Ravenna. That would make sense here. That would make sense. It probably is Ravenna. And so what? We go over and bring him Christ and we'll put him upright again.
Amen.
Amen? But there's a lot of people and they've only...
Yes.
Change their eternal address. There's new homes there. They've only been there a couple years. Bethel ought to knock on their door and say, hey, we're a church on the rise for a risen Savior, and we want you to know we care about you. Amen?
Yes, amen.
So if you can, come out at 2 o'clock Saturday. We'll all go together. And look at, well, here's how we need to go in verse 21. Keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I'm glad I got eternal life. I'm glad I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die, no, never. Jesus died on the tree for me, and I'm going to live forever. How many are glad I can live forever?
Amen.
You can when you have faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never put your faith in Christ, you can do it tonight. Ask Christ to come in your heart and save you. Not to be a Baptist, not just to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner going to hell, and I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I believe you died for me. Come and save my soul. You do that, he'll save you. You're on your way to heaven tonight. Making, and some, see the ones that go out with the soul warning, the ones that put out the warning, they've got compassion. Some having compassion, what's it do? It makes a difference. Who are we going to make a difference for? Who are we going to make a difference? I'm not going to turn to it. Luke 14:23 says we're going out to highways and byways and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. You know, personal evangelism, that's what God ordained. The best way to reach those evangelists, they might reach a few people. They all got some people that you might reach. But no one will reach the masses like personal evangelism. Nothing will ever take the place of knocking on a door and telling people about Christ. Nothing will ever take the place of witnessing daily, praying daily for someone's soul and trying to get them to get saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder, with our heads bowed before we go home tonight, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I've asked Christ to save me, and I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm sure, I'm positive, 100%, if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you, may put him down. Maybe you're tonight and you're not sure. The Bible says you should know. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life and that you might believe. You can know. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm not going to heaven because I deserved it. I'm going to heaven because one day I saw myself a lost sinner going to hell. Got down from an old green couch. 1034 and a half Sherman Street back in 1969. And I asked Christ to save my soul from hell. Take me to heaven when I die. That's why I know I'm going to heaven. I did what God said. You hear that and you say, Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pastor, would you pray for me? Just raise your hand, put it up and put it back down. Let me pray for you. Who'd say that? Yes, ma'am, I see that. Who else? Yes, God bless you, sir. I see that. Who else? Personal workers, come forward. My soul winners, come forward. Who else? Who else would say that? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. Amen. Just come. That's right. Amen. Belinda, there's a lady coming right now to be saved. Amen. Amen. You want to be saved, sir? Why don't you come right now? You come. That's right. Just come. Brother Michael, this young man's coming right now to be saved. Amen. Amen. Who said? See, you can get saved on Wednesday. How about you, ma'am? Anybody else want to be saved? Pray for me. Who else? You want to be saved? Make sure we pray with that lady, Robin. Talk to Aunt Davis. Amen. Who else? Pray for me, preacher. No one's looking around. No one's looking around. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you just raise your hand? Let me see it. Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure, and I'd like to know. I won't come. I won't embarrass you, I promise you. But this is the most important thing in your life. I'm not talking about being a Baptist. I'm not talking about being a member of church. I'm talking about getting your soul saved, your sins forgiven, and a way to heaven. I'm talking about when Jesus comes in the rapture, soon in the clouds, when the trump of God, you'll be a child of God, and you'll go up and not be left behind for the great 7 years of tribulation. That's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to warn you that there's a heaven and a hell. I'm trying to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you, and he died for you, and he rose. He's coming again. All you got to do is invite him into your heart. It's not hard. Sirs, what must I do to be born again? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's not hard to get to heaven. All you got to do is get the ticket to heaven. You just got to walk through the door to heaven. And Jesus said he's the door. He's the way. He paid the price for your ticket to get to heaven. He suffered for all your sins and mine. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. If you like, if anyone else would like to come, why, Brother Mark, come up here and sing that song. What page, John Mark?